I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Marissa.
So when this episode airs on February 21st, you will be cruising away.
I will. I will be sitting on a cruise ship somewhere, sipping on a beverage with an umbrella in it or something.
Oh, how nice. Headed to Mexico? Western
right.
Caribbean?
So Western Caribbean. Yep.
Nice.
Can't wait.
We'll all be jealous as we're listening to this.
I'm sure. Now, I have actually tried to find out ways could I record, could I call in to do the podcast while I'm gone. And so far, I haven't heard any encouraging words about what it would cost to to get a connection to do that. So
maybe Frida wants to co-host with you.
That's true. She could co-host with me, you know, sitting on the balcony type thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, she probably wouldn't want to do that either. But we'll see. I'm not giving up hope. There's still a little bit of time for me to see how I can make that work.
Wonderful.
But we don't want people to fear there will be a podcast.
There will be a podcast.
We just haven't figured out exactly how or what yet.
So. Yes, we have our busy vacation calendar here that we're working around between your vacation and my vacation, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are on vacation right now too, because it's
yes.
February break week. If you live in Central New York, most schools are closed this week, so you're either on vacation or the complete opposite of vacation with your kids at home.
Right. And if in some way you did travel away from New York State and you decided to fly, you paid obscenely high airline rates.
Yes. That's why I was grateful that, with my daughter not being in school yet, it doesn't matter when we go. So we were able to avoid that going the week after.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's awesome. We're excited for you, and obviously excited for you to come back from your trip, even though we'll be apart for 3 weeks.
We will.
Us too. So
yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So before I go, we have to talk about level 4 in the 5 levels of leadership, people development.
Yes, this is episode 4 of 5. Yes. So if you are behind, you can catch up with our last few episodes that we've done weekly the last few weeks.
Yep.
And so this level is people development.
Right.
Tell us a little bit.
And I want to encourage people, in the show notes is a link again to the Amazon page where you can buy the book, The 5 Levels of Leadership. You really need to buy it. You need to have this. If you're an aspiring leader, and you're working as a leader, you need to have this on your bookshelf right next to your desk, because there's so much in there. There's no way in the 5-25-minute podcasts we do, we can even scratch the surface effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But what I called level 4 in my post that went out this morning is breaking free to greater success. And I really mean that. A level 4 leader realizes, and I'm going to borrow a title of a book, and the author is escaping me right now, but Marshall Goldsmith, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And a level 4 leader realizes that you know what, they may have achieved a lot, but they can't get to the next level. They're living the law of the lid because they really have not begun to develop the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
And in last week's podcast, I even shared the story that John has shared about his second pastorate, where he really grew a church dramatically. I mean, the church was very successful. They had built a new building. They had moved. And when he left, the organization struggled and struggled badly because he was doing it all. He was the cheerleader. He was the person holding it all together. He was just the visionary, and he was, pardon the pun, preaching the sermons every Sunday to get the organization going in the right direction and keeping it going. But he wasn't developing the people underneath him, so that when he left, all of that stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of it is part of it is vision casting. And I know, I've used the example that Simon Sinek says, calls the school bus test. If you got run over by a school bus, would your team come in the next day and continue working as hard as when you were there to follow your vision? But the other part is, do they know how? Is there someone behind you ready to take over? And that's really the key about this. And are there, so good leaders have followers. Great leaders develop leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what level four is all about, people development.
That's really, it sounds a lot too like, you know, building the legacy that you'll Absolutely. Leave behind. Because, you know, whether you get hopefully not hit by a school bus or, you know, just want to retire, there needs to be people in the wings ready to take over.
Right. You know, I touch on this in my post. You actually, your success as a level three leader can trap you.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless your organization sees people around you that can continue that course, you can't go anywhere. You can't get promoted. They may not let you retire. You know, it's not even fair to your organization. So your own success of being a producer, a good production leader, could be holding you back from growing because you haven't developed the people around you. And really, it's that people development that set you apart from most leaders, because a lot of leaders aren't about developing their people. They're just about developing a company or a process, and they forget about that key part. And they get stuck. They're living the law of the lid. They get stuck at level three.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's probably a variety of reasons why, right? I mean, sometimes it's just not top of mind. Someone might not be aware that they're in this production level and that they haven't thought about growing their team.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sure there's also that fear, like, they won't need me anymore if they become better and more capable and grow, or that, you know, I'll lose them if I invest in their growth because they'll either find a better job elsewhere or move teams and no longer be part of my team. So there's a lot of reasons why this could happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I as you were talking, I remember a conversation I had with the owner of a company where I worked once. And I had just come back from a seminar where we were talking about, you know, how can we train our people? How can we develop our people? And he was an older gentleman. And he said, you know, the worst part about this is we're going to train all these people and they're going to leave. And fortunately, I was given this quote at the training, and it basically said, the only thing worse than training them and having them leave is not training them and having them stay.
Right.
You know, and so really with leaders, we need to be developing our people to become leaders. We, you know, think about just the tremendous improvement in engagement, mm-hmm. as they feel we trust them. We feel that they can lead. We feel that we can give them opportunities to show what they're capable of doing. As soon as we do that, the whole organization begins to rise to a higher level. So a lot of times, you know, it's an insecure leader that won't develop his team. Like you said, maybe they feel they won't be needed. In fact, one of the jobs I got, I was hired to replace a man who was a plant superintendent who deliberately did not give his team all the answers they needed because he wanted job security.
Wow.
And once that was found out, he was let go.
Scary.
Yeah. So insecurity, mm-hmm. makes leaders feel threatened, mm-hmm. by people development. And I need to share this too, because as I was writing the post, I thought about this. There was a time in my last job when I was a young president of the company, probably in the position a year or two, and we had an opportunity to start hiring some key people. And I actually had this fear at a couple times where this person's going to be smarter than me. This person's going to be smarter than me. But thankfully, you know, the light turned on and I said, yeah, I hope they're smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good leaders are always great leaders are always looking for who can I hire that might even be smarter than me in some of these things.
Yep.
And can help the organization go. So again, that's all part of this breaking free to a greater success. We've got to overcome ourselves and really embrace the joy and the reality of people development.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the joy of people development.
It's so much fun. It's great to see people developing and growing. And if you, when you read the book, and I hope everybody does, you get to a point where John actually talks about this team that he developed, and he mentions them by name. It's part of his inner circle. And he said, at the beginning, I was helping them, and I was doing a lot for them. But he said, we've been together long enough now that they do far more for me than I do for them.
Mm-hmm.
They've helped expand his reach to more and more people. And that's really the joy of this level five, which is people development. Jack Welch said the leader's role is not to control people or to stay on top of things, but rather guide, energize, and excite. And I thought that is so great. Another quote that I pulled out, Gerald Brooks said, when you become a leader, you give up the right to think about yourself.
Right. It's exactly kind of what I was thinking reading through this level, is that you really have to ditch your ego.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the neat part is when you can get to that point, when you get to the point where you realize it's not about you, it energizes your team and they actually want to work harder for you.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're saying it's not about us, they're going to be saying, I don't want to let him down. I don't want to let her down because she's invested so much in me. So it's almost as though the more we disconnect it being about us, the more people want to, I hate the word say it this, but make it about us, so to speak. In their hearts, they're doing it because they want to do it, because they realize that we've invested in them and they don't want to let us down. The thought that came to mind as I was sharing that was the business mentor that had the greatest impact on my life at a very critical time, you know, and I've talked about him a lot, Don Dew Sr. from Die Molding. I didn't want to let Don down. You know, and he tried to stay in the shadows, so to speak. But all I wanted to do was tell people, look at this man that's done all these great things for me. He's developing me. He's pouring his life into mine. He's speaking into my daily thoughts, so to speak. But all I wanted to do was tell everybody about how great he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's been passed away. He passed away probably 10 years ago. And I still, thankfully, have this opportunity to share with people what a great man he was. Max Dupree said, the leader is the servant who removes the obstacles that prevent people from doing their jobs. And I love how he put that. It's the servant that removes the obstacles. Because level four leadership is truly servant leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, again, it's not about us in any way, shape, or form. It's completely about our team.
So now that we've talked about some of the characteristics of this level, do you have that list of questions that we can go through
again? I do.
Great.
I do, right next to me. So to know if you're at a level four leader or not, you need to answer 8 of these 10 in the affirmative. I schedule and follow through with training and development for all the members of my team on a regular, consistent basis. When deadlines loom or work becomes urgent, we never cancel our training and development sessions.
Mm.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
I consistently take risks by giving people responsibilities and authority that will stretch them. I spend a significant amount of time every month mentoring up and coming leaders. I know very thoroughly the strengths and weaknesses of all the people I lead. I individualize the way I train, develop, and mentor my people. I spend the most strategic and significant mentoring time with the people who have the highest capacity, talent, and potential. I have a history of moving people from position to position to help them find their fit. I think that's a huge one right there. I am continually giving people feedback, not just during formal reviews.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's that daily mentoring coaching piece. My team or department is considered by others to be the best trained in the organization. So that's a high standard.
That is a very high standard, yes.
You know, especially the one we train even when we're busy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my summary of it. So many, you know, I hear this from a lot of companies that I interact with. They say, we really need to do this training, but we're busy right now. Okay, I understand that. But you're always going to be busy. So just to give you an example, there's a leader in town, leads a very successful organization, who was, this individual was, and I won't even share their gender because I don't want to in any way have anybody know who I'm talking about. One of the first visits I made after joining MACNE, I came in December of 2015. It was January 2016. I go out with Randy to visit this person, and the person says, I really need this. I need coaching. I need mentoring. I need this training for my team. Great. So I send a proposal. Nothing. I follow up. Come back out and talk with me again. So I go back out, talk again. We really, really need this. So signs the proposal, then sends me an email. We're too busy. I've never heard from him since. So think about what's the lost opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
2 years with no improvement in the organization and no training because they're too busy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, I've filled up my schedule with other training, but that organization still doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's one of those things where the sooner you begin, it compounds. The great thing about people development is it compounds like interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every day, and it isn't just, you know, the law of addition that, you know, every day we get the same level increase. It's a logarithmic improvement when we train our people and when we develop them.
Yeah.
So I you can tell I'm passionate about it, but
of course you are.
People really, you know, one of the problems is a lot of leaders are too short-sighted and it keeps them from seeing the need for it. Like this leader, they're just so focused on all the things they have going on that what they really need to do is stop, take a breath, and assess what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So some tips. For a level 4 leader, you need to hire the best. Don't ever settle in a hiring.
Yeah.
If you aren't convinced that the person you're hiring is the best, leave the position vacant for a while. And I love the three characteristics that Dave Ramsey told us last year at Live to Lead. These are the three things that the Ramsey organization looks for in an employee, a new hire: humble, hungry, and smart.
Yep.
If you got somebody that's humble, hungry, and smart, you can teach them anything.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of ties into what you're saying, too, about, you know, moving people's positions around until you find the right fit.
Right.
A lot of people would say, oh, you're not the right fit for this position. We're going to have to let you go. But if they're one of those people who's hungry, humble, and smart, you'll find the fit for them.
Absolutely. We'll find a spot. I kind of refer to it as putting round pegs in round holes.
Mm-hmm.
This was the way I ended up becoming president at SelfLock, where the owner didn't like running the company, didn't think he was good at running the company, didn't want to run the company.
Mm-hmm.
So the board, and I was the plant manager, so he had conversations around the board of directors table. And when I said to Mr. Dew, I said, Don, why are you folks offering me the job as president? He goes, we need to put round pegs in round holes.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to be working to their strengths.
Yep.
That's what he was doing. And it was a great experience. Of course, it takes an exceptional leader within the organization to have someone else lead their organization.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly Dan was that when I worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he still is. Leaders need to model leadership excellence. Not just get by. We need to focus on being excellent, because again, we're developing people, we're developing leaders. We need to be living that, again, the law of the picture for them. We need to give them the tools that they need to develop and grow. And, you know, we need to invest in them. If there's people they need to be mentored by, coached by, we need to invest those in that for them. But again, be doing it ourselves. You know, I love the organizations that I'm working with, where I work with multiple levels of managers, from the president to his direct reports, because it shows the direct reports that he understands or she understands that they need to keep growing. Always develop lifelong learners. And I think that's huge. I think learning is fun. I think learning energizes a team. And so if I'm working with an organization, I want their people to be continually learning. It doesn't always have to be work-related things. Something they're passionate about that develops this mindset, this hunger to learn. And the last note I had here, tips for level 4 leaders, is to empower your people to act. It's interesting. One of my coaching clients, they had to replace a management-level person. That person had retired. And the ops manager came to me and he goes, so what would you do? And I said, what's your team like? So we talked it through, and we talked about the potential of setting up self-directed work teams made up of team leads. And it was interesting. It was so amazing that within a 30-day window, he went from the concept of a self-directed work team to coming back and saying, I've set up the team. It's functioning. One of the guys has really surfaced as the lead of the self-directed work team leaders, mm-hmm. and they're making decisions. And the way he's coaching them to make decisions, he gave me the example that morning when he came in for a coaching session with me, he goes, you know, just before I left, one of the gentlemen comes up and he wants to know my opinion. And I think the man said, well, what would you do? Something like that. And then the direct report said, you know what? I'm going to go talk to so-and-so and we will make this decision. So it was just great that he was empowering people to act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not always going to make the right decision, but neither do we.
Right.
At least they're making a decision. So that's this key part at level 4 of people development. Empower them. Let them. You're giving them the tools and you're letting them grow. And they're going to make mistakes.
Because everyone does.
Lord knows we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
So what are some of the laws that would apply to level 4?
I would think that the law of process, which says leadership develops daily, not in a day. And I don't have the numbers of these laws. I jotted the laws down, but I didn't put the numbers down. So you got to get the book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. The law of addition, leaders add value by serving others.
Mm-hmm.
So we just continue to serve and build. The law of the inner circle. This is a huge one. A leader's potential is determined by those closest to her. And that is really true. The people that we surround ourselves with will determine where we go in life.
Yeah, and that's true for all aspects of your life.
All aspects mm-hmm. of our life. And I had a young man ask me that last summer at our happy hour, whatever, individual member happy hour, mm-hmm. whatever we call that event there. And he was struggling because he said, you know, a lot of my peers, all they want to do is get together and party, and I'm beyond that now. Okay. So I said, so start setting up different types of events, and if they don't want to join you, find new friends.
Yep.
Because they'll never get beyond that. The law of empowerment, only secure leaders give powers to others. The law of explosive growth, to add growth, lead followers, to multiply growth, lead leaders. And that's the key. Level 4 is when our organizations can really begin to see really explosive growth because we don't have to be there all the time to make the decisions. The mm-hmm. team is beginning to make it for us
mm-hmm.
based on, you know, again, framework that we've given. The last of the law of buy-in, people buy into a leader, then the vision. So, you know, people come to a company because of who's there. And once they trust that leader, once that leader is seen to be somebody who is a good thinker, who also is being led and is growing and is developing, then they'll buy into their vision.
Yeah.
So that's a quick list, but that's where we are. You know, again, we're scratching the surface on this book. You need to get the book. And again, I get no proceeds from book sales, but it really is a powerful, powerful tool.
And so this only leaves one thing for us to talk about next week.
Next week.
The pinnacle.
The pinnacle. The top of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, my dad used to have a phrase, you know, now we're cooking with gas. I don't know where that came from. But anyways, it's when everything comes together and we are firing on all cylinders.
Yep.
And it really is when you find significance in what you do. So how's that for a little teaser?
That's great.
And you know what? By the time we get to the next one that airs, I will be well rested.
And I will be on vacation.
And you will be on vacation. But we'll have to figure out all the mechanics.
Yes. Yes.
So again, want to encourage people to subscribe, encourage people to leave some reviews. And by the book. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.